Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Paul Santilli. Welcome to this edition of SCIPS, Strategic Consortium of Intelligence Professionals, the SCIPS organization of our podcast series entitled iStream. And I am heading up the SCIP organization. I'm super pleased to be joined here today on this session with Bentley Ratcliffe, a good friend of mine. He's president of Remedy Brands and also a competitive strategist, consulting, and coaching expert. So welcome, Bentley, to this edition of iStream.
Oh, thank you, Paul. It's great to be here. I've been actually involved with SCIP for many, many years, so it's nice to actually be able to speak to the group.
I know you've been a great proponent of SCIP, and we'd love to love your engagement and involvement, and definitely appreciate your support. So I want to start off first, you know, give me a little bit of your background. You've been in the industry and in the intelligence space for quite a while. I'd like to learn more about, you know, what does your background consist of in that context?
Yeah, a while is a good way to describe it, Paul. I've been in the competitive intelligence and strategy business for 30 plus years. I'll leave it at that. And I started in the tech industry. So I came out of a early growing tech industry out of the Bay Area, the Silicon Valley area. But I actually started as a salesperson, and I got hired as a new account salesperson, and I was the competitive new account salesperson. And my job in those days, those are the days when tech was owned by IBM. And my job was to go in and replace IBM gear. So I learned the hard way about competitive.
Yeah. That's a challenge back in that time, especially. Everything was IBM.
Oh my gosh, a customer, they didn't want to hear you. We had a better product for less money.
Yeah.
And we managed to break through the door, which was, it's nice to have something that's better and less expensive and took up a fraction of the size of the room that theirs did. But man, those people were dug in, and we really had to do a lot of work on it. And I leaned heavily at that time on the competitive intelligence group. I spent 5 years with that company. And after that, I learned along the way how important a CI person and CI group and war rooms were to it. Especially I became the field marketing sales guy, specialist for the U.S. market in that company. So, and that was the old Sperry. It became Unisys.
Yeah.
I moved on from there, and I joined a smaller company at the time. It was called Sun Microsystems. They were just getting going. And I learned a lot of different things. And it was actually a really interesting period of time because we were just grow business. And we hadn't hit $1 billion yet. I just left a $10 billion company to go over to join us. So it was a shock. And I joined in the organization, and I ended up owning, I ended up in the product marketing organization, owning the competitive intelligence group, because I was chairing marketing for a consortia like SCIP called Unix International in those days. Uh-huh. And I was helping us beat, you know, I used all the things I learned previously to help help position the market. So Sun offered me a great job. Well, I learned fast how important intelligence was in those days, because these were high-end technical workstations. But I remember something that I thought was really important, and I'll never forget. Scott McNeely was very hands-on in those days.
Yep.
We were small. He said to me, he says, you know, intelligence is important. Strategy is going to make us win. And here we were. I joined this company, and as soon as I got there, I found out very quickly that our product was suboptimal.
Yeah.
It wasn't very fast. HP and IBM had products that were much faster and better products than ours. And we had to sell this thing, but we were outselling it. And he told me something that was really important about strategy. He says, if you don't like the way the game is played, change the rules of engagement.
Rules. Yeah, exactly.
And he says, that's strategy. That's not intelligence. He says, I know at that time it was called the Spark processor, wasn't as good as what the other guys had.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we did focus on is we focused on getting the applications and then working with the ISVs so that we were marketing their product with our product.
Yep.
So when it came down to the customer would say, geez, I can buy from one of the other vendors, but it runs better over there on the Sun platform because we were helping them with marketing and sales, and we were bringing them in. It was called the Catalyst program.
Uh-huh.
And he taught me that a number of times. He says strategy overlays your intelligence. And that's, how I kind of got into that.
To that point, though, you know, this concept of competitive strategist, then yep. I think kind of blurs the lines between those functions, right? I mean, that's really what you know, your history. Tell me more about how that came together, the competitive strategist function, and, well, you know, what does that really look like?
Again, that was it came from that period of time. I like to use an analogy for competitive intelligence and strategy when I'm talking. And in fact, my book is named Checkmate for that reason. My dad taught me chess early in my life, and some of us play chess. Chess is an interesting game. They say it's a game of strategy, right?
And
you have different tools in your toolbox. You have pawns, you have rooks, you have bishops, you have knights. You have all of these different tools at your disposal, and they all work differently.
Yep.
And then you have how you're going to play the game, right? What's your strategy to win? So I like to say that competitive intelligence are the chess pieces. You can't play the game without them.
Yeah.
And it's critically important. You imagine starting out a game of chess without your bishops.
Yeah.
And the other guy has bishops.
It's the tools in your toolbox. You can't have an incomplete toolbox if you're going to go work on a car, for example.
Bingo. And competitive strategy is how you play the game.
Yep.
And so they go hand in hand. One can't work without the other. And that's what I've been saying over the years. A lot of people are very good at gathering the intelligence. And I consider, you know, intelligence items like battle cards and research papers and SWOT analysis. These are critical functions. You can't go to market without having that.
Definitely.
And there's two sides of it, right? There's the product side so that I build the right product. And then there's the sales side so that I position correctly. The problem is that a lot of people, especially in the sales world, they don't apply a strategy. In fact, competition tends to be, sadly, a afterthought when they get into trouble.
Yeah.
And then they come running. And that's why we have war rooms, which, by the way, without war rooms, we'd probably be a real challenge. And anyway, as I got through my career, I found out that I fell in love with the whole concept of competitive, both strategy and intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
I went on from Sun to join Apple, that little fruit company out on the West Coast. I did some time at Cisco. And then I started a company called CompeteNet in 1997. And we researched competitive intelligence, and we delivered a product called the Battle Table. And we delivered that to HP and a lot of other companies at the time. And we actually helped run the war room at HP. And during that, we would write two different types of things. We would research all the products. It's kind of like how Clue or Crayon works today. But then we had analysts that did nothing but spin the message so the sellers knew what to say and what kinds of questions to ask and the traps that you could place. And then we also did competitive training around the world. And a lot of these companies hired us. We would send out teams that would teach them how to be more competitive, how to be more strategic in sales.
Yeah.
So it's really important. I go back to the chess analogy. It is key that you add that into your sales organization and potentially into the product organization. It's not, they don't compete with each other. They actually enhance each other. And that's what I'm trying to get across to people.
So that's, I love that concept. I think, you know, back in the day that you're talking about with trying to engage with these established organizations and trying to appeal to them from a competitive and intelligence and strategy side of things, that was kind of a uncharted territory in some cases. I mean, it was a new concept in many ways that back in the day. I remember that because unfortunately I was well entrenched in my career in that day, you know, being who I am and how old I am and so forth. But nonetheless, you know, taking the same concept, applying it to more of today's world.
Absolutely.
And in the future, I mean, because that's really what I think a lot of our listeners are really going to be trying to, you know, how does this apply to today's world? Today's a very different world, very connected, big data, so forth and so on, right? How would you see that being an application area for today's environment, even in the future environment for the up and coming CI professionals?
Well, I mean, a lot of the same concepts apply, and you're right.
Yeah.
I'm speaking of what happened then, but as an example, last week, I have a coaching session. I work with a software company, and they're in a very big deal, and it's down to three companies. one of the three companies happens to have done business with the customer previously, which obviously means they're the incumbent. Although
they got the inside track.
They don't have all the things that the customer is asking for.
Yeah.
Their company has a great solution, and they could do what the other company does, but it's got to be down to competition. And then the third company has more deployed solutions than anyone else. So it's a very tough and competitive situation. And I said to him, when we sat back and we talked about it, I said, how friendly are you with the presidents of these companies? He says, pretty good. I said, I know them all.
Yeah.
I said, why don't you get them all in the room and talk to them and say, hey, from a strategic point of view, one of us may win, but we're going to struggle with it. And there's a lot of money on the table. We're talking between $5 to $100 million in the long run.
Yeah.
I said, what if you're better together? And he looks at me and he says, what do you mean? I said, instead of trying to compete head on, because each of you have features and capabilities that the other doesn't have, what if you found a way to build APIs so the products can talk together?
Yep.
And he said, I never would have thought of that. And I just talked to him yesterday. I said, did you call these guys? He says, I did. This is the one that's got the most deployments hasn't really responded, but he did acknowledge it.
Yeah.
But the guys that are already the incumbent, they were thrilled at the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, you know what? We're probably going to win this because we got together.
Yeah.
And that's how strategy works, because they could have fought feature to function. Right.
But it's the power of the sum rather than the power of the components. And you bring in an entire solution based upon the expertise of all of these people involved. And that can only benefit everyone that's going to be, not only the company, but the recipients of the solution.
Absolutely. And, I just changed strategies, and the strategies I was using, because I said to him, I said, right now you're targeting at frontal. You're going right after the whole deal. And it's going to be a win or a lose.
Yeah, all or nothing, exactly.
I said, you really don't have the ability to flank them, but you do have the ability to fragment it.
Yeah.
And so I got my, if they win this way, I said, your foot is in the door. And we're talking, this is a major, major foundation, credit card foundation. I won't say which one, but it's a major deal. And it's international. And I said, if you can get your foot in the door, then you have the opportunity to grow it. And that's another competitive strategy.
Yep.
Is the three famous Sun Tzu strategies, frontal, flanking, and fragmenting. I said, get your foot in the door, man, because you've got a long haul to get there. And from that point of view, now there's another section of the same deal. They are dominant in the other section of the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I told him, I said, you're going to go 100% frontal because nobody else has what you have.
There's different tactics depending on the stages and the players and the positioning and so forth. And even the timing. I had a conversation just before this podcast with some other leaders in the industry about the timing of these things are so critical to making sure that the execution and the strategy as you're proposing takes effect. Because if you don't have the timing right, it could fall it could fall flat, right?
Yep.
So the timing, I think, is another critical element. But I love the way that you use this, the strategy element, but then you looked at it in terms of joining the competitors together to become a greater strategy overall. That's a very unique way of looking at this, and I love that.
Well, that's what the advantage of having the intelligence at your disposal, because the first thing I told them to do last week, last month ago, is I said, put somebody on it. I want to know every company, what they do. I want to know what their leaders say on LinkedIn. So I had already researched what their leaders were saying and where they were thinking. I wanted to know their persona. I wanted to know, are they a driver? Are they an amiable? Are they, a technical? I wanted to know about them, because then I could say, this is how you can, this is how you go about it. That's why I go back to is without CI, you can't do strategy very well.
Yeah, you're right.
They go hand in hand, and it's been a success for a long time in my world. I've done this in number of different places and a number of different technologies. Right now I'm working with a new hire group that's got a large SDR and BDR, so sales development reps and business development reps.
Yep.
And they're losing their market share. They're huge. You're talking about 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And And the market today has become so insanely competitive with LinkedIn. And, you know, how many times a day do you get asked about some product and the same products over and over and over again? And they don't take a different strategy. And I say, so let's take a different approach to the client. And yes, we want to sell solutions and we want to sell all that you know, stuff that we're going to sell high. I think how many times I've been told that.
Yep.
But I want to sell strategic. I want to start thinking differently about how I approach the customer. And that's part of where I went with the book is that I gave a model I call Colts. A little plug here, but I really want to get to the strategy pieces. The first thing you need to do is what I did with that account. I needed to know the companies. I needed to know where we were. I also need to know, are we in with the client? Have we sold to them? Have we worked with them before? What's our history? Because, you know, I could run into an objection. An objection is, you know, price is too high.
Yeah.
Or I can run into an obstacle. I bought from you in the past and I will never buy from you over my dead body. Totally different situation.
We've all been in that scenario. Yeah.
And yet, you know, when you get an obstacle, you have to open the kimono. You have to let everything hang out.
Yeah.
And so first thing you need to do is color identify the accounts you're targeting as a sale, as competitive intelligence and as a research organization. Are they friendly? Do they buy from us? Do they buy all the time from us? Do they call us before they do any business? And I have the color codes. I have white. I've never called on them before in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Red. They're my competitor. Yellow. They share the wealth.
Yeah.
Green. They buy from us consistently. Blue. They don't do anything without us. So if you can do that and it's fast, you can bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Then you can move to what I call opportunity questioning, which we'll come back to, but I can move to the strategies. One of the strategies that I've written in there is what I call loss recovery strategy. Over the years, I've been told time and time again that if you're not first, you're last, basically. There's only one win in a sale.
Yeah.
And I've said, nonsense. And again, another Scott McNealyism. He said, go in there, win whatever you can, and then make that the most important part of what they bought. So I built something called loss recovery strategy. It says I need to have, when I propose to a client, I need to have two kinds of proposals, the main proposal and a backup proposal.
Yeah.
Okay. You think about this for a minute. I'm now friends with Paul Santelli. I'm having great conversations with Paul and we're doing some great, great stuff together. But Paul has to tell me I lost, right?
Yeah.
It's called emotional capital and it stinks.
Yeah.
I hate doing it. But if you give them an out, they're going to give you the deal, the small deal.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to tell you, I can't give you this deal, but I'll give you this part. Now you're in the door and it's far easier to sell to a customer than it is to that. And you can also just wreak havoc on your competitor. So there's all kinds of strategies. I think the thing, Paul, that I just want to get across is that overlay strategy over intelligence. It's two different things, but they work together, and it's critical that all CI people think that way.
Absolutely. No, I get it. I get it. I think that's a great way to look at it. The strategy on top of the intelligence, marry them together, do the cross-pollination and that kind of stuff. That's a terminology I use. So one of the things you mentioned the book Checkmate. I'm going to give you a little bit of a book plug here, a short book plug. But you mentioned a couple of these five different strategies there around the competitive strategist sort of standpoint. Do you want to elaborate on those and give a little bit of an overview of what those five are and briefly?
Well, I call it Colts, C-O-L-T-S, and got to put an acronym to it. I wouldn't be a good tech.
Of course. Everybody has to associate an acronym. That's the way to sell stuff, right? I get it.
So the first one is color code of accounts, right? Which is what I just gave you, the five color codes, where you just identify your account so you have an idea of how you fit competitively into that account.
Yep.
If you can't sell a green and a blue account, you really shouldn't be in sales. you know, yellows are the most common. Reds are the hardest. So you're dealing with an obstacle. And we can go in another time if we want to talk about dealing specifically with red accounts. The second, the O stands for opportunity questioning. So once I know that I have a competitive situation, I can tune my questions to uncover opportunity that I didn't before. A lot of times you get the same questions being asked all the time.
Yeah.
right? So I need to tune those. So it means I need to have more questions to choose from. And I say, oh, I'm going into a yellow account. I need to make sure. And I also have to stop being afraid of competition. I have to, a lot of people will avoid asking about competition.
Yeah, it's awkward. Yeah.
First thing I do is I said, so who's out? Who else are you talking to?
Yeah, yeah.
And you watch the customer get awkward. Well, really, come on, you know? And because they'll tell you a lot of stuff. In fact, that's how I used to get a lot of my own competitive intelligence in the day.
Yeah.
We would give away, well, it's a long story. But anyway, so that's opportunity question. That's pre-strategy. That's prep. The next two is loss recovery, which we've already talked about.
Yep, yep.
And the next one, and the two that my favorite one is called trapping. And trapping is, it's the concept of setting up the competition to make mistakes and errors in front of the customer and losing credibility.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, I one of my clients says, well, that's the same as landmines. I said, no, landmines are different. Landmines are really important. They don't have this feature. Therefore, boom, the deal gets blown
up.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
A critical feature. A trap is predicting what they might say about you and how they position it. So everybody has those sheets. I don't have one here, but everybody has those sheets that show all the check marks they have.
Yeah,
and everybody else has half of them.
Yeah.
And they're great, right? You need those things. But, you know, the customer gets one from you, one from the competitor, another one from there, and they're all different. And everybody's got the line on the side. And you know, I know it's funny, but, and they're good stuff. Same thing with SWOT, right?
Yeah.
Or heat charts that my old company used to do heat charts when I was at Global Data for that little period of time. So, and they're great. And they give you a feeling of where you're strong and what to emphasize. The problem is that not everybody has all the strengths of everything.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I like to own my weaknesses. This is a term I kind of phrase. I said, I'm going to own the weakness. I'm going to make sure the customer understands where I'm strong and where I'm weak.
Yeah.
And what my competition might say about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Paul, if I,
we're going preempting it in a sense, you're preempting it.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm preempting their competitive situation, but I'm building it in a way as a trap. If I said to the customer, I said, likelihood ABC might say these things, or some of these companies might say these things about us. Understand, this is how we're addressing that.
Yeah.
So what happens is a competitor comes in and says, hey, you know, I here's this chart, and says, I already know that.
Yeah, yeah, right. And you diffuse the issue, you diffuse the shock value of it all, right?
Yep.
By having those preempted. And moreover, I mean, like when you talk about, you know, trapping, this concept came up about false flags and about how a lot of competitors will actually put out information that's not true in order to lead their competitors down a false area.
FUDs.
So yes, exactly right, FUD. So that's something also as a mechanism that could be part of the strategy there. But, you know, bringing back this competitive strategist role and the expertise around this, that's encompasses the entire portfolio of tools and things that you could do in that realm, right?
Absolutely. And listen, one thing about traps, and to finish the thought on traps, is that once the trap springs on the competitor, they tend to go, people get defensive.
Oh, of course.
And when you're defensive, you tend to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You tend to bury yourself. It's like tripping down a hill. You can't catch yourself. You just keep going.
Yeah, it's a snowball effect.
And the other thing about trapping, that once salespeople start using it and realize it works, they absolutely love it, and they never walk away without it. But the last point in cults that you just brought up was FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah.
They say IBM invented it. I think it was invented back in the 40s, but nevertheless, fear, uncertainty, and doubt is a great tool because it plays on emotion, right? There's two things, emotion and logic, right?
Yeah.
Fear is an emotion, uncertainty is emotion, and doubt is an emotion. So it's completely emotional. You know, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to do that?
Yeah.
That goes down to what I call the silver bullet strategy.
Yep.
And the silver bullet strategy is everybody wants a silver bullet. Give me the silver bullet. But, you know, how often do you get a silver bullet for real? Right.
Yeah.
I use Boeing back when they released the 737 Max, right? Two planes went down. They lost 300 people. That's a silver bullet, guys.
Yeah.
Right? The Airbus took advantage of that and sold the heck out of their small plane.
True.
That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to create the silver bullet. And that's what the silver bullet strategy is. And you use FUD to create
as a mechanism to initiate a catalyst toward the silver bullet process.
Many years ago, we were up against a fierce competitor who dominated the business, and we were the small guy.
Yeah.
And we created a mindset throughout the nation. We were big enough to be rather, we know where it was, who that was. We created enough of a mindset around the country that what we did is we targeted certain territories, areas specifically, and we set the message in Seattle, in Bay Area, in Dallas, not everywhere, but just there. What happened is it rolled up into the corporate headquarters, and made them think we were giving equipment away to buy into the accounts. And we set that, and it turned into a panic over there. They thought we were doing it everywhere in the world.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, guess what? They started making defensive moves. Yeah. And we started moving in on it everywhere.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so I call that the silver bullet strategy. There's another angle to it that's a little more personal to an individual sales rep.
Yeah.
Where you also target one rep's every account the rep has and nobody else in the business. And the territory. And it absolutely, it's devastating for that personal rep.
Yeah.
It's not very nice.
I was going to say that's a interesting approach that I'm sure we could do a whole nother podcast on alone.
Could. Listen, the whole idea is, all I want people to get across here is that, they're in the best part of all the sales and marketing. I mean, to understand the competition is just, thrilling. I love it.
Yeah.
Outsmarting them. And making them work for you is there's nothing better. And that's why I said I love the traps, because that's exactly what that does.
Yeah.
And the organization you run, you're talking to people that have all kinds of industries, all kinds of places. Some of these strategies are very good for high-end, very enterprise stuff. You start moving into more retail areas, there's different strategies you can use.
Of course. Yeah.
But it you can't ignore the value that how strategy overlays. The intelligence. Intelligence is the what, the strategy is the how to.
How, exactly. Yep. So I want to kind of wrap this up in terms of what you might think would be, from a today standpoint, what is the takeaways you want to have the audience work with? What are the main, maybe top three, top four takeaways, briefly, to kind of wrap up the entire conversation we've had? What would you suggest?
Like I started out, strategy and intelligence is like the game of chess.
Yeah,
you have the pieces and you have the strategy to win. Of all the things that I find the most important, I like to know my accounts and understand a little bit about what they buy, right? And then I like to align that up to the two strategies that I consider the keys, which is loss recovery and trapping. You should never walk away with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's just, I never have understood that. Always win something, because you're setting up your pipeline for the next year.
No matter how small, it's a value. It's a plus. It's on the plus side.
It's a plus.
Yeah.
A prospect is hard to sell to. A customer is easier to sell to.
Yep. Yep. And this competitive strategist framework is a preferred and maybe accelerated, but a preferred way of getting to those, that sort of achievement, I think, which you're saying, right?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then, the book, I write all of this. In the book, each chapter talks about the different strategies. I do a quick summary in the first chapter. If you only read the first chapter, you'd probably get the gist of the book. I did that because salespeople don't have a tendency to read a lot. But in every chapter, I give a salesperson and a sales manager's point of view of how you should approach that. And it's called Checkmate, Mastering Competitive Strategy, Sales Strategy. And it's on Amazon. It's the URL is competestrategybook.com, and it'll take you right to the URL. I even have a copy of it here, of course. Why wouldn't I? But
there you go.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
And people have read it, and they just love it. I also wrote a workbook for it.
Uh-huh.
That if you send me, once you get the book, you send me the request, I'll send it to you so that you can actually write these strategies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's good. Free after you get the book. So it's, I'd love to see more of that. I think this is, I love, as I said, I love the world of competitive. And let's wrap it up. It's like a game of chess. Lost, never lose a deal. Trap the competition and get my book.
Yeah. Of course, there's that book plug I mentioned before earlier. So, hey, wrapping this up, Bentley, how can people reach out to you if they have any other questions, comments? I imagine LinkedIn's probably primary way.
Yeah, LinkedIn is the best way. And my contact information for those of you that ever look at the word info on your LinkedIn is there. I put my phone number and my email address. So you could actually reach me in any of those ways, but LinkedIn is usually the easiest.
Very good. All right. Well, hey, as always, Bentley, pleasure talking with you. I really appreciate your support of Skip. Love to have you at the future IntelliCon conferences and do more stuff with Skip together. But again, I want to thank you for joining us on this iStream episode. And again, it's a pleasure talking with you, and I wish you the best.
It's great, Paul. And I always enjoy it. So, and good luck. I think you have a conference coming up this week.
Yeah, very shortly. Yeah. So we always have a conference coming up at one point. Yeah.
There you go. Well, enjoy that. I look forward to reaching out and being part of your future conferences.
This Outstanding.
Maybe even running some workshops, which would be.
Yeah. We should definitely have that discussion. Thank you, Bentley. You have a great day. It's a pleasure.
You too, my good friend.
All right. Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.